than just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
I'm not afraid to die. very good evening to you, Namibia, and a very good evening to faithful listeners of Eagle FM and faithful listeners of Life Lessons. Well, welcome back to another episode, another show right here on your number one talk radio station. I am your host, Dafa. Happy Juju here to keep you company this time of the evening. Every Saturday, you know, this time around from 1900 hours to 2100 hours, I'll be here keeping you company. Now, tonight, I'm joined in studio by my co-host.
Yeah, Mr. Joseph at Kashindi Andreas.
Nice to be the two of us.
Yeah, it's great. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Otherwise, how is your Saturday?
My Saturday has been full of laundry and and other
goodness.
Home chores. But
I know, right?
But when the sun sets, then you know that those things must have been done already. So we are good to go. And it's been a very quiet one actually.
Yeah.
Nothing much, just family time and doing chores at home.
Same applies to me. I had intentions to, you know, we have a mall behind my house now.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
Khuriakha Mall.
That one opened last Saturday or something? Or last week?
Yeah. Opened last week.
Yeah.
And officially opened by the president yesterday.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? I was telling people.
Come.
Yeah, ne?
I should have come at least to see the president live.
Perhaps I should have told you.
Yeah, you should have.
So. When the mall was being built, it was right when I opened the window of my house, I can see the building and everything. And the noise, we had to endure the noise as well, you know.
Yeah,
but it got some noise pollution, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We have a mall. The only problem is that because I'm literally in the last row of the houses
right.
in Greenwell that are facing the mall. But they did talk about plans of making a bridge for us because I have to go all the way and follow the road to
Round.
Actually go to the mall. So it doesn't really make much sense. If I probably buy some stuff, I'm gonna have to take Yango to come home because I mean how
Again,
do I carry?
But it's just like
it's a walking distance. But the problem is there's a riverbed.
Less than a kilometer even.
That riverbed makes
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, the riverbed. Yeah, I saw that.
But otherwise, I intended to go to the mall, but I was too exhausted after doing laundry.
Yes.
Oh, but that's about it. Otherwise, tonight I want us to talk about, we're going to discuss about men and suicide, right?
Men and suicide, not ladies, ne? And suicide as well. Men are the heads of the household. So, it's a befitting topic.
Yeah, ne?
Yep.
I think at this particular point in time, it really is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like I want to really go out there. I want to really discuss truthfully things that I've observed, Tati Andreas. Things that I've really observed that I feel like it's about time we speak honestly and truthfully and hold men accountable.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. I really feel like we're not holding... Yes, I feel like to be honest, from my perspective...
Yeah.
I honestly feel like we are sugarcoating men.
Yeah.
We are sugarcoating them in regards to them committing suicide. It's all about the boy child and the boy child and the boy child. You know, I came across a post by somebody and this person was like, no, the boy child has so many things available for them. They have counseling. They have people who keep on saying, speak up, these conferences that are being held specifically for them.
Yeah.
But they're not making use of it.
Conferences, there are conferences that are being held, just normal conferences for men. And there are lots of conferences in the church community that are addressing all these things about men.
You
are very right there.
You see now. Mm. So that comment actually made me realize that, hey, hold on, but it's so true. I mean, you can't, you know, in the beginning, it was really the girl child to push the girl child because back then it was men occupying space and doing this and all doing that.
Yeah.
But, and therefore that strategy worked to push the girl child.
Yeah.
But now, of course, now we have to find the balance because the girl child has been pushed. I think that's, you know, but honestly, the boy child also has platforms available for them. But they choose not to make use of them. For instance, you find the boy child going through something, although they have a friend, maybe they have one friend, they won't even speak to that one friend about what they're going through.
Just confide in them and at least say, I'm going through what A, B, C, and D, you know?
Yeah.
You're right there.
So tonight, I honestly feel like let's be raw and honest when we're talking about suicide. You know, statistics reveal that men, the male gender commits more suicide than the female gender. To my surprise, you know what?
Yeah.
Men appear to be very strong, not just physically, emotionally as well. They honestly appear to be very strong.
Yeah.
We cry, we, you know, go to out to our friends, we call our girlfriends, and then we speak about what we're going through. We cry, like, for real.
You pour your heart out to the friends.
We speak out, you know. They rather hold it in. But to be honest, it appears as if they have everything together. And then you find that this person has a really nice job, drives a nice car, and then boom, you hear they committed suicide. And that's where I want to come in to say, then it's not the financial issue always as we are making it to be.
Yeah. I think finances, I think according to the last report I've seen for, I think 2023, it says that finances, okay, it actually said that over 83% of men commit suicide. Sorry. The total number of suicide, I think it was 422 people who committed suicide in 2023.
In Namibia?
In Namibia. Mm-hmm. And 83% of that number is men.
You see?
So, and only about 14% is women, and then about 3% or so is children.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I think it's one of those things where somebody can look like they have everything, you know, but then they will have one little thing, maybe a relationship issue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're successful. They have a nice car. They have a good job.
Right.
They, you know, they walk around looking like they own the world and they are strong enough. But I think the fact that men don't cry, mostly men don't cry up to now.
Hold it there. Mm-hmm. We have our scheduled commercial break coming up.
Okay, cheers.
Cool. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
Find delicious quality food that's affordable at USave. 1 kilogram of Wright brand oats, just $29.99. 900 grams of U brand, a smooth apricot or mixed fruit jam, only $36.99. Get 26 bags of U brand black tea, just $8.99. Unbelievable prices. 700 milliliters of U brand tomato sauce, just $19.99. Get 750 grams of U brand mayonnaise, just $32.99. Get 400 grams of clover flavored dairy snacks, just $9.99. You say, bringing you the best at unbeatable prices.
If you lost your show, all of that you could Oma wa o tomono okuchako NHP. Genge wa longi fae longi foli lipedu lo wa wo uhaku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku nefiku. Mefiloshi shelo uhaku oe. Owa washi mali wa oshosha kupako. Washika we delu wa komto wa landu. Akakashi. Koma punglo e nashano unjola wele oe. Otodulu okulongi fa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko. Opo unamiti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oi mali wa ishona. Oyo hodulu okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, omayakulo olu hapu, hakalaina kwa telwa, mouwawe kwa folo elu unamiti. Ile, otodulu nokuli, okupitifapo e mwedidonumba, tokalaino futa eakulo lo elu unamiti. Kowyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Emango nomalandola fwana ododina okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Okay, and we are back. Anyway, Mr. Andreas, you were busy saying in regards to the statistics also.
Yes, I was saying 82% or so of 422 suicides that were recorded in 2023.
Yeah.
Were actually done by men. It's men who committed suicide.
Yeah.
And then I'm just trying to look back at our cultural and traditional beliefs and expectations that men are not expected to show feelings of being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They are not expected to show emotions. You know, if you are feeling bad or something happened, you're not supposed to cry and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what causes the bottleneck of inside. Like you bottle up that whole emotion, all those emotions, and for most men, they just when they break down, they just go and commit suicide.
Mm.
It's still a it still has a serious cultural connotation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important for us to seek help and to go out there and confide in somebody. You know, if you don't have people that are, you know, I mean, if you have a friend or two, you can call up a couple of friends and tell them to say, guys, this is what I'm going through. I just need help. You know, I need you to emotionally support me and be with me emotionally while I'm going through this thing. But most men would rather keep to themselves. I mean, I've seen men who, a man is married, they are close enough to their wife. He goes through something.
Exactly.
That doesn't probably include the wife much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Family.
Yeah, maybe from their family or something like that, or at work, and instead of even confiding in the wife, the person just writes a note and leaves it in the middle of the night, and they go to a tree and hang themselves. You know, so it's those things. And then there's the aspect of relationships. Mm-hmm. I know some men who, a person is married, then they go and cheat on the wife.
Infidelity.
Yes, and then they get a girlfriend, and then they maybe get dumped by a girlfriend, and then they go and commit suicide because they got dumped. You know, things like that.
And you know, I think that is one thing that is very interesting to this whole suicide aspect by the boy child.
Yeah.
I honestly believe, I've come to assess this for a while. Before, I was also in the pity zone.
Yeah.
You know, yes, as much as you pity zone, but
yeah.
That, like I'm saying, let's hold men accountable.
It's true.
For the foolish actions that they do.
Yeah.
You talk about suicide. Somebody's mm-hmm. married and he yes. has his wife.
Yeah.
And then leaves her for a girlfriend and then later commits suicide. I know somebody, somebody who was very close to me. Let me put it rightly to say family member was an uncle.
Mm.
And so I didn't know what was going on at the time. I only came to know after the incident.
Yeah.
This particular man was married to his wife.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they had children. I think they had three children grown up. Probably teenagers.
Yeah.
And they had a house. They had a beautiful house uptown. And then they bought another house. Mm-hmm. And then when they bought another house, guess what? He takes his girlfriend to go stay there. And they have a child he has a child with his girlfriend. So along the years, apparently he would come home.
Yeah.
And one time, he would come home and take a shirt, come back home. The next time, take a trouser until he stopped coming home. And a particular time, apparently, he came home and broke everything. Okay, not everything, but most of the stuff that were in the sitting room. He broke the TV. He broke the what? He broke and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the wife and the children were very scared from what she said, narrated to me. She said they were very scared because, I mean, somebody was doing that. It's only a matter of time before you're worried. Is he going to kill me? Is he going to kill me and my children? Or what exactly is going on?
Yeah.
Lo and behold, fine, he went, and for a very long time, he didn't come back again. Now, fast forward, life has a way. You know, people like to use the word, I want to say repercussion, you know?
Karma.
Like to use karma. I don't like to use that. I'd rather say repercussion. What you sow, and this is a law of life, what you sow, you will reap it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether it's going to take 20 years or 10 years or 15 years. I've listened to a particular message by Pastor Paul Riga. For those who are interested, it says beware of repercussion in your latter end. Ne?
Mm-hmm.
It talks about three people that are gonna judge you. The earth is gonna judge you.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings are gonna judge you for your action, and then God is gonna judge you for your action.
Of course.
Now, this particular man, apparently along the way, his girlfriend decides she doesn't want to get married to an old man.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be with
obviously after chopping his money nicely.
Of course not. And they had a business. They had a business.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides she doesn't want to get married to an old man. So she wants to break up with him. Yeah. And from what I hear that particular day, the girlfriend and his son, and the son, they left, and he was following them. Now he was an officer, so he wanted to, it seems he wanted to kill them or something like that. That was the story behind it.
Yeah.
But then luckily his brother or his cousin followed him and said, "Uncle, what are you doing?" And he was a very aggressive person from what I hear. Guess what? He says, "Yeah, why are you following me? Blah, 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 blah." That very same day, he went to commit suicide wearing his girlfriend's gown. He committed suicide.
Mm-mm.
And let's now go back to the wife. Yeah. When I heard that story, you know what I said to myself? I said, this man is an idiot. I'm so sorry to say this on radio, but no, really, sorry. No, really, no, he is. When you justified. Left your wife and she was crying and she was hurt, why didn't she commit suicide?
Exactly.
Why didn't she? Oh, so it's painful to be dumped, huh? It's painful.
But you left your wife and children.
And children. Now, when somebody wants to give you the same taste of your medicine, it's very painful.
Then
you want to commit suicide.
So he probably invested in this girl, emotionally, financially,
obviously,
and otherwise, you
obviously.
Know.
Obviously.
And but that's just how life turns out sometimes.
Which is not fair.
It isn't fair, no.
So you're telling me I must pity this person?
No.
You know what you're telling me? I must pity the wife. And I must be factual to say, if he was alive, unfortunately, he's already committed suicide.
Yeah.
If he was alive, I would look him in the face and say, you are very selfish.
Yeah.
You are a very selfish human being.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know? You want things on your terms.
Yeah.
Let everything flow according to your will and your desires.
Mm-mm-mm.
You hurt other people and you don't want nobody to hurt you back. That is wrong.
But that is how life turns out. Usually the people who mistreat others, in the end, they will be mistreated themselves. It's just like that.
And I think worse.
Mm.
And I think really worse.
And you see, just the same way he left the wife, obviously, at one point, I'm sure, when you are married, right?
Yeah.
It always, you are emotionally invested in the marriage, right?
Right.
And most of us who are just normal people who don't have ill intentions, you actually end up believing that this is your life. Like, you are going to be with this person until you get old together,
yes.
You see?
Yes. And it's supposed to be like that.
And the wife must have thought of that, you know? To say, I'm going to get married. I'm married now. I've got children. I'm going to get old together with my husband. Only to be dumped for a girlfriend.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sure he, after leaving the wife and going to the girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm sure he started having some emotional investment again into this girl to say,
this is now my girl.
Because he loves her. I'm going to marry her again. Yeah. That's how he ended up going to ask for marriage. To ask for her hand in marriage again. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And after doing that, then the girl was like, no, I'm not marrying an old man. Because she had her own intentions. She had her own intentions.
Which I would say it's a taste of his own medicine, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, as a wife, you'll be there hurt. It's a painful thing. You know what?
Very, very painful.
It's a painful thing. I think what people don't understand, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And I think this is another topic that I should have. Divorce is very painful.
It is very
painful.
You know,
we read statistics.
Yeah.
Let's say, for example, Tate Andreas.
Mm.
420 divorce cases processed in the High Court today.
Mm-hmm.
Take 420 times 2. That's going to be 840. Yeah. So we're talking about 840 families that have broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about how many children. Let's say on average, how many... Let's say probably 3 children. So times that 840 with probably times 3 children on average, we'll say average probably they had 3 kids, you know? And then those who had 5, it compensates for the ones who didn't have. So
really
when we talk about, you know, and this are action mostly, and I'm not here to cover for the women, but I want to say that mostly it's men. You understand? Men are not ready. They are not ready to be committed, even relationship wise.
Yeah.
I've heard male friends from other countries talk about, my goodness, Namibian men, all they do is impregnate ladies and move on to the next person.
And then just run.
In other countries, people respect their women. They respect their marriages. Let's talk about Zimbabweans, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, it's very few cases that you hear a Zimbabwean remarries.
Yeah.
We most of times
they stick it out in their marriages.
Yes,
you know?
They stick it out. It's they really honor true. Their wives,
and
you want to tell me that there are no problems within those marriages? They are.
I think the thing with the Zimbabwean community, or as a country, is that the people have really resisted a lot of Westernization.
Mm.
That is what I've seen. Because even when I look at my Zimbabwean friends, the way they teach their children. The way they bring up their children, the way they run their homes, they are very traditional. Even people who live in Harare, which is just the same like Windhoek, but they have much stronger resistance towards Westernization. And that is why their marriages also last longer. because mm-hmm. people just know. I mean, if you mess around, I had a friend, a Zimbabwean friend mm-hmm. who lived in Namibia for a few years. We met here and then we became friends. Mm-hmm. And he was married, and his marriage wasn't working out because of certain things, but the efforts, I think about 5 years, mm-hmm. the two of them were just going through counseling from the elders, just their own elders.
Look at that.
Something like 5 years.
Look at that.
Yeah. I'm not sure how it didn't survive still, but yeah. I'm just saying that on average in Namibia, if I just decide today to say I don't want my wife, I just go and walk away.
Put in a divorce. You don't care what she says. Yes. I like that point that you brought up.
Yeah.
In Namibia, men, once he decides I don't want my wife anymore, he's not interested in counseling.
That is the thing. And sometimes some of these things that are causing divorce, they are not things that cannot be sorted out. It's just some things
they like
that
to say irreconcilable differences. I don't believe in that
but,
word.
The irreconcilable differences were supposed to be there before marriage. You're supposed to see those things already before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking because I have a perfect marriage. I'm just saying because like if two people come together and they are truly honest with each other.
Yeah.
Nobody is saying, oh, I'm getting married to this one because he has a good job. I'm getting married to this one because he has potential to finish school and do whatnot.
Exactly.
Because people do all those things. But if you can say, well, you put all your cards on the table before you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, both of you should be honest, truly honest with each other. I remember when I met my wife.
Yeah.
Our first date. When I met her, she was like, no, if you are interested in me, if you like me,
yeah.
the first thing that you need to do is come home and ask my mother that we are going on a date.
And I think that's the standard that we ought to be making. Yeah. Nonetheless, we have a scheduled commercial break coming up now. But listeners, please do stay tuned. We're only getting started. It's going to be cozy up in here. So please do stay tuned. Just going first. Commercial break.
Yes.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager. Now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers, and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences, or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
And we are back. You were talking about something quite interesting to say. First, your wife laying down the grounds to say this and this and that.
Yes. So I came home and I asked for. I greeted the parents and I went in the house and I said, "Well, mom and dad, I want to take your daughter out on a date."
Mm.
We weren't going out at the time. It's just our first date. And then we went. Then they said, no, it's fine. We want our daughter back before 6.
Wow.
I said, before 6? No, before 8.
And she was how before old 8 at the time?
She was 22, I think.
Oh, okay.
At the time.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was like that. So we went to this nice German restaurant on top of a hill here, somewhere in Kleinwinduk here.
What's that restaurant?
It's just opposite Namibia. What is this place again? Environmental Trust. Is it Namibia
environmental
Fund or something?
Oh, I saw it. I saw it the other day. Not the restaurant, but the environmental.
Yeah, so opposite that, there's a nice German restaurant.
Okay.
I hope it's still there. I haven't been there, but since we even need to go and retrace our steps.
Please,
yeah, so, and I remember telling her, like, when we just ordered our food and we finished with the small talks, the icebreakers.
Mm-mm-mm.
I told her to say, I like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But before we even go to that extent for you to even tell me whether you like me, mm-hmm. we need to be honest with each other. And mm-hmm. I told her everything, my whole life story,
beautiful.
How much debt I had, things like that, what kind of job I had, what issues I had, my family issues mm-hmm. and all these things, you know?
Similar to what my husband actually did with me. And I think that's why I very much glued or fell in love with him, because he was so honest. Mm. Like, I'm this type of person, don't try to impress me. Just be you.
Mm, be like, yourself.
Yes. You know, you get some girls, real. She's impressed because he has a nice job and he's this.
Yeah.
I want you to be honest and real. Because the moment you try to impress me, you've literally destroyed
that
everything.
Is true.
So, yeah. But, well, let's get back to suicide.
Yeah.
Men and suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So, of lately, I've been hearing about, just the other day I was in a cab and this girl was telling me about this guy that she was in a relationship with, and he impregnated her, and all of a sudden he hated her, and then he was dating someone else.
Yeah.
And then he, someone else, had a miscarriage, and apparently he was blaming the girl to say, "You killed my minister." You know, I think I was saying, really, like, there are people in this world that are so wicked and cruel. Ne?
Yeah.
He drives apparently this double cab cars, and he would drive past her, although she had his child on her back, you know, footing, and he would say nothing. And my goodness. And then he apparently ended up also leaving the other girl. And as we speak, he's marrying a girl that he met that works in the north, a very nice job, and they've only been dating for a year, and he's getting married to her. Now, this is somebody who has terrible history, and I think that's the problem with us women. We don't want to dig. We don't want to ask. We don't want to find out. And back in the days, our parents would go and ask, who is this young man that wants to marry my daughter? You could be married already. Or he could be having somebody that impregnated already. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So, we women also, we don't want to do digging. And when we have done digging or we've heard, like, I'm asking myself, why would I want to be in a relationship with somebody who has a five-month baby? Why in the world would I want to be with somebody who's literally just coming out of a relationship?
They probably told you that it's a mistake. It's just one of those things. I was drunk. I was under the influence of whatnot.
Which means...
which
means even when we get married or we are, together, you can get drunk and still go and do the same thing.
Exactly.
So I think we overlook certain things. Nonetheless, back to, to the story, and this girl was so hurt, and she says, these are the words she said, "I wouldn't be surprised if that guy one day commits suicide." And let me tell you, one of the reasons why some people commit suicide, it's because they feel hopeless, helpless, and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes also the reason why people commit suicide is out of shame and embarrassment.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. I think especially the thing where a man starts cheating on the wife, and then there are these women who, even though they are married and whatnot, I mean,
You want to use the word?
No, not really. Oh, okay. Like, there are these women who can also reciprocate this whole thing, right? To say what?
Okay.
To say, well, you cheated on me, I'm going to cheat on you too.
Yeah.
I'll give you back what you gave me, you know? So there are people who are like that. So you find that a man who cheats on the wife would not want his wife to cheat back on him.
Men don't want to be cheated on.
Then he will go and commit suicide.
Men don't want
such
to be
things.
Cheated on.
And that
what
is
what
just...
you don't understand is that we women don't want to be cheated on either.
So if you don't want... You see, that whole thing of saying, do unto others...
What you want them to do unto you?
What you want them to do unto you?
I literally met this guy in the taxi. Was it yesterday? No, it was probably Friday when I was... No, Thursday. And this particular guy said, it is in our nature. My God.
What? Cheating is in our nature?
If it was legal to beat somebody, an adult, I would literally beat that rubbish out of him. So he said...
It is not in our nature. He should also not speak for some of us.
Thank
he should
you.
Just speak for himself.
Thank you.
Maybe it's his, in
Tell
his
them.
Nature.
Some are listening.
Because
and
at
I'm
the
sure
end of the day, no, seriously.
You know what they say? But our grandparents used to cheat on our our grandparents used to cheat on our grandmothers, and they survived. And who said our grandmothers were enduring? They just endured.
I don't think there's a single woman who will enjoy.
No, not at all.
Being cheated on.
Exactly.
Whether it's my great grandmother.
Thank you.
It's not right.
They had no choice. They had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
At this particular point in time, I got my money, boy. I am literate,
Yeah.
I'm not illiterate.
Yeah.
I know that I can speak out against what you're doing, and you expect me to keep quiet because it is in your nature? No, that is wrong.
That's not in our nature.
It's not in man's nature, and I like...
I know. That is why even in the Bible, there are just a few cases of men who had multiple women. Very, very few. It's not everybody.
And when...
And even that time when it was allowed in the Bible, it was a different set of circumstances. It was a different era.
Mm-hmm.
So today, it's something different.
I like how you even bring up in the Bible. Let's trace the history of men that would cheat or that had multiple wives in the Bible. Let's trace David, who committed adultery with Uriah's wife.
Yeah.
His family suffered. Absalom killed, what's this guy that raped Tamar? Absalom killed his brother. Okay, first, one of David's son raped his sister. And then, since Absalom was same mother and same father with Tamar, who was raped by the other, Amnon, was raped by Amnon, he went and killed Amnon. And in the end, Absalom wanted to kill his father. Imagine. So, and the Bible is so clear how God said, you did this thing in secret, I'm going to do it publicly.
Yeah.
You understand?
That is true.
We have a caller.
And that, okay.
Yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. Life lessons, good evening. Oh, I'm so sorry, we lost them. So, and back to Solomon. The Bible says that this many women that Solomon had turned him against his faith in God. And I think Solomon was greedy, covetous.
Mm-hmm.
700
concubines.
Concubines and 300 wives. So a whole year can go by and that wife doesn't get to sleep with her husband.
Yeah, because there are so many.
Oh my God. Oh,
yeah, it's true. No?
You know, and I think as human beings, everybody or every one of us have to look within ourselves because it's human nature to be very covetous about something. I think all of us have a particular covetousness towards something.
Yeah.
For some people, it's clothes. They can never have enough of clothes.
I have and seen a few sisters
who
wear clothes too much.
For some of them, it's shoes. And I think it's normal.
Handbags.
For some of them, it's shoes. My God. And for other people,
and for guys, what? I just can't think of anything.
Caps
for guys. Caps.
Yeah.
I only have five.
Thankfully.
Okay.
Life lessons. Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Juju. The people of God. How are you?
We are fine, Uncle. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Even though Kathleen. What is? No, that's not Kathleen.
It is.
Hello, Tate. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you? It's a long time, eh?
Good, thank you.
How are you doing?
We are so good, sir.
Thank God to you, team up with you.
We are a deadly combination, aren't we? Or a life-giving combination.
So, yes, I just began listening now. And I don't even know how long you'll be there. And that's why I said, before the knock off, let me just get in. What time are you actually going to knock off?
2100 hours, Uncle Bana.
So that I can listen also.
2100 hours, Uncle Bana.
2100 hours?
Yeah, boo.
2100 hours. No. Listen to the program.
Thank you so much.
Before I come in. But what you say is quite very important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, because there is, you know, these are laws that men have discovered. So as opposed to the natural law, the law of God. So I don't know how compatible or maybe in a way they might also interfere with the natural way of doing things.
Okay. Uncle Buena.
But I will listen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We are actually talking, that topic was just a passerby. We're actually talking about men and suicide and, but go and listen and come back with your contribution.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Please. We'll be waiting then for you.
For you people.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. So really, men need to be held accountable. And this is what I've also discovered. I said I'll tell the story about being women who reciprocate, right?
Yes.
I'll come and tell it after our commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying men are very, for lack of a better word, very bold in the way they kill themselves.
That's a very controversial one.
They are very bold.
Yeah. Like the way they say men.
I read somewhere, a man who parks his Benz at the beach and drown himself in the sea. A man will book a hotel
and go and hang go himself, kill himself there.
In the hotel. A man will drive, take a bus all the way from Windhoek to the north to go and kill himself in his bedroom window. I mean, bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have somebody. Let me just tell them to come back. A very good evening, Life Lessons.
Yes, how are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Okay.
You know, on why, not men, just say why people commit suicide,
no? No, today we're dealing with men only.
Ah.
Men and suicide.
And men and suicide, that's the topic.
Yeah. That's why people commit suicide.
Sorry?
It's just one reason.
Why?
You know, when life become so worthless, when it comes to that point, there's nothing to live on for. So people commit suicide. And on the other side, you must also look at it, when everything worth nothing, then life.
When they are hopeless or feel helpless.
You know, when somebody's on the deathbed, he wants to be alive. Then he realizes that.
Okay, listen. Hold on for me. Just stay on the line for a scheduled commercial break. It will take probably just a few 30 seconds most, and then we'll resume, okay?
Are your children street smart? Do they stop and look both ways before crossing the road? Do they wear bright clothing when it's dark? And do they use zebra crossings? Teach them to be seen in bright colors and stay alert near traffic. For more information on how to keep your little ones safe, follow the National Road Safety Council on Facebook and Instagram or visit www.nrsc.org.na. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah, I was just trying to say, the only moment, because you ask yourself one question, why are you hanging on to life? If you answer that question to yourself, then you have a reason. You cannot commit suicide.
If you?
Because when life becomes, just ask yourself why you want to be alive. Why are you hanging on to life that you want to be alive? That's the reason. So what keeps you alive? When you lose that, when you see that is not there, then to you life is worthless. When life becomes worthless, then a person is likely to commit suicide.
Yeah, when you feel like I have nothing to lose.
Not to say you have nothing to lose, to say life itself become worthless. There's nothing to live by. For you are living for what? Then I give you the other side to say, you know, when a person want to be alive, but there are things that prevent him not to be alive, like health. The person is on deathbed. He have all the money, he has the what, the doctors, but it's unfortunate, it's time to die.
Unfortunately, you know, some people might find me very insensitive when I'm talking about this particular conversation. You know, all my life I had always thought in my mind, I don't understand why people commit suicide. Like, why in the world would you take your life? You understand? Until I went through a particular moment in my life and I had gone through depression. And there was one thing that I was holding on to for dear life. You know, I felt like everything else can fail. But not this one. This one cannot fail. You understand? I held on to it with glue. And when it started failing, I felt like I have no hope. You understand? And there was a day where suicide crossed my mind. You understand? Mm-hmm. And I realized that, for some people who are battling suicide thoughts, who are contemplating suicide, they feel not understood. They are going through a pain and they only want that pain to end. And they feel like if I end my life, that pain will end, not knowing that there is actually hell on the other side. And I think that is the only reason that kept me from committing suicide, to be honest. That I think that is the only thing, because I was like, I had read somewhere that apparently people who commit suicide, immediately you die, demons come and drag you to hell because they are like, you thought you had problems on earth? We show you problems. Show you so problems. That's the only thing that really sort of like, I was afraid, where am I going on the other side? But so.
That's why I'm telling you that you have to hang on to something for you to stay alive.
Okay.
If there's no reason for you to stay alive, then you see everything, life is worthless.
That is true. And I think this is why I brought in my story. People used to tell me, think about your kids. At that moment, I didn't give a damn about my kids. I wanted to be fine. You understand? It wasn't about my kids anymore. I want first to be fine, because I felt like I somehow also felt useless to my kids. And honestly, I want to thank God, because you know, kids love you for who you are. Have you ever been in a situation where you are broke, things are going wrong, but your kids love you, irrespective whether you're bringing chocolate or whatnot. But at that point in time, I didn't want people to tell me, think about your kids. Rather tell me to think about myself. Not that I'm being selfish, but yeah.
You see? But the thing is to say, me, you know, one was telling me, he was contemplating to kill the wife and the children. When he get home, then the son, the small one, came to him. When he just entered the door, then the son came to him. When he looked at the child in the eyes, he changed the mind.
I think that was also what helped me. Honestly, mm-hmm. I remember my daughter was 7 months old at that particular point.
And also the thing is to say, sometimes people, you know, when you think of committing suicide sometimes and you have a gun, like a pistol, sometimes it's not, you were like trying to say, you know, when you just say, "Ah, man," you know, you are likely to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Because the gun it doesn't play.
Shama
fi jamu kayo po kaja. Shama wa? That's what I'm saying. The moment the person see that life is worthless, there must be something that should come in, intervene for the person to realize that there is still a life. There is I still to hang on to it.
I like your contribution.
Just see the son and they feel pity in the eyes of the child. You know, child are angels. You understand? Change the mind. So, on the other aspect that you touch on the marriages, it's a fact to say I'm glad that you're all married. When I was listening to you guys, but I just want to tell you one thing. Marriage is not what you see, what you read, what you hear.
See that? You're talking to somebody who has gone through experiences.
Let me tell you, marriage is not something that you read, that you hear, that you see. Marriage is your own. When you are there, then you understand what is marriage. Then you must just stick to it, because marriage is like life. You cannot live the life of somebody. People live their life. You live your marriage. For you must give your assist Allah by giving what is assisting you, if you are willing to say that. Because what we are saying on other people's marriage, those are speculations. We are accusing them. Because if you are talking from a scientific point of view, that you really contacted the research and go really talk to those people to give their vision, then I can agree.
You see? I hear you.
Otherwise, you can call them stupid. You can call all the people like that. It's okay. It's also good that you are copying made some reference from the Bible, but I can guarantee you, Bible is a biased book because it only gives you the one side of the story. Solomon have all those wives, but they never give you the side of the story of the woman. Whether those women okay. were, what happened to them? Was he still with them, or they were just their wife by paper? The Bible is totally biased. That's why for me, I follow Bible in a context, not just general at ease, because it's too biased to only give you one story. That's why when you read it, this as the whole Bible, they only give you one side, that Jesus is good.
Okay.
But the other side of Jesus, it's not that it is not there. It's only that history was not documented. Geshara, the until the lion know how to write. The story about the hunting, they will always favor the what?
Until the lion knows how to write, the story will always glorify the hunter.
Of course.
I hear you. Thanks for your contribution. Who am I speaking to?
Myself.
Who?
Myself.
Okay. Thank you, myself.
Okay.
Ewa. Okay, Tote Andreas, what's your comment?
Well, it's been a great contribution from that gentleman there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he's making reference to marriages to say marriage is not a joke, and it's something that you only understand it best when you are in it.
True.
You know.
True.
So we are not taking credit away from that one. It's true that marriages, you can only get to really understand what happens in a marriage when you are in it. But we have also seen other people who have had their marriages, and we look at them and we're like, okay, if he does this, I don't want to do that. So that's why it's important to learn from other people's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, the whole thing.
I feel like you can never really, I don't know, maybe this may sound very stupid, but, you can never really be fully prepared for marriage. Because your challenges that are going to come your way are unique.
Yes, and they will only come when they come. You might not have gone through anything like that before.
We can prepare for other things, learning from other people's experiences.
Yeah.
But our own is going to be unique. You understand?
Yeah.
Our marriage is going to be tested on different, unique grounds, not necessarily on the next person. Maybe our own, we're not going to have kids. Or perhaps we'll have kids and there'll be sickly kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or perhaps... finances, we had good jobs when we first got married, and then things hit bottom rock. And I feel like when you get married within the first year, problems always come. External problems. I feel like the devil says, so you people decide you want to go
and get married.
Get married, huh? You don't want to fornicate anymore. I'm coming for you. You understand?
Yeah,
I feel
that
like that's,
true.
I really feel like that. And so that's why you hear sometimes a couple was married and then the husband loses the job. And I feel like that's the time, that's a trial moment.
Yeah, yeah.
How strong are you guys, you know?
Mm-hmm. So how strong is your marriage?
You know? Yes. I feel like the winning couple who can overcome in their challenges of marriage are those who believe for better, for worse. No matter what comes our way, darling, we're going to work it out. You understand?
Yeah.
That's the only... Any couple that wants to have a successful marriage should go in with a mindset of no matter what comes our way, we're going to work it out. You understand? We'll talk about it. We'll pray about it. We will get counseling. We will whatsoever. Let's not give up on each other. But the moment you go in with, if his mother insults me, I'm out. If this happens, he loses his job, I'm out.
Yeah. That is really true. I think a lot of people, when we go into marriages, we don't foresee some of those things because the bed is so rosy, you know, like at the time when you find this beautiful lady and you love her and you like her so much, you just feel like, well, you don't even have time. You don't even allow yourself psychologically to think of the other side of things. You know, things can be very nice looking at the beginning, but a lot of things happen as you live together, and you discover, oh, the person is like this. When they wake up, they are moody.
Yeah.
You need to find a way to work through that.
Especially when you're not a moody person and you get married to somebody who's moody. My word.
Yeah. Some people have mood swings.
Terrible mood swings. It used to
then you say, crap out of me. You know, you wake up to tomorrow, they are happy. The next day they wake up.
Yeah, my sister was that type of person. And she's getting married very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a very quiet person, reserved person.
Mm-mm.
And even the spouse is very reserved. And they are of different tribes. The guy is Nama.
Okay.
She's Vambu.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how they really love each other. And I'm really, really...
praying,
I believe it's gonna work out most definitely.
Yeah,
I love how they work together, they respect each other. And another aspect that I've never mentioned is that, I love the fact that she has a very good, high paying job, and the guy has a good, high paying job too. So it's a win win. You know, sometimes you really, you're not looking at the finances, but, you're a little bit scared when your sister has a high paying job and is marrying somebody who doesn't really. Have a high-paying job, because I feel like then they're most likely to take advantage of you know. But that's my opinion, because I've seen around me experiences of such. So in my heart, I really wanted her to have somebody who she, the company that she works for, she found that particular guy there. So he did engineering and she did geology. So I'm just
they're
very compatible, I would say.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have a scheduled commercial break. Unfortunately, I'm not enjoying the commercial breaks today, but hey,
they are scheduled.
If my boss hears me say that, I don't think he's going to think it's a joke. But anyway, cool. Let's allow a commercial break to play and we'll be back shortly. Please don't go anywhere. This is Life Lessons. Also, studio number is 083-288-401. Perhaps you want to participate today for the first time. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. But don't worry, we'll be back before you know it.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Anyway, we are back, and of course, this is Life Lessons. We're talking about suicide. We're still on that topic, okay? Don't get carried away by the subtopics that are coming your way. Men and suicide. Oh, my goodness. Men and suicide.
It's hectic.
It's hectic, really. What's the story I wanted to say? I wanted to tell a story of a particular man, right?
Yeah.
Another story I had a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This particular man, apparently, he had his wife, and they had three children or so. I'm not sure of how many number of children they had, but they had children.
Yeah.
And he had a beautiful job, and the wife had a beautiful job too. So finances were okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I had also is that they were married, and they were intact. You know, their marriage was intact, so to say.
Yeah.
Until the man committed adultery and got an outsider woman pregnant. And of course, the wife was very hurt. Now we have a caller coming up and I feel like finishing the story. But anyway, let's allow the caller.
Yeah.
Life Lessons, good evening.
Yes, now I'm back.
Welcome back, Uncle Buana.
Now, thank you very much for that important topic. It's very burning, actually. That is a burning issue. men and suicide. Maybe there we need to now look at some of the contributing factors that really lead men to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious issue. And you know, one of the biggest problems, even this afternoon or this morning, actually, Big Mike was talking about men, issues that how we view men, the expectation that we have for men, you know. So we expect men to do even the impossibility, even things that, of course, naturally you can do, but I think men are expected to do more. And some of these issues, when they fail,
yeah,
or they find themselves at the position where they might not be able to perform some of those expectations or duties, then they become stressed. They become depressed.
Yeah.
They, of course, it was mentioned that they see no value to live. You know? So, but I think the society is also somehow to be blamed, generally. Because if, for example, you are a man and you are to marry a woman, say, for example, maybe you do not have formal employment, for example. Maybe you just have some piece of work, informal kind of employment or trading or whatever. So the way society look at you with that woman who is so highly educated, for example, maybe
yeah,
having a good paid job. And this man, also ourselves, and this is not only from the society, ourselves as men, we feel like I'm a non-entity because my wife is a doctor and I'm just a welder.
Mm.
You feel like you are not, you don't feel like you are man enough.
I hear you.
Despite the fact that all these other things you can do and things like that. But when you compare yourself, you know, this is kind of comparison. It's not a
thank you
comparison that you know. But you can always, you feel that, no, you are just down there. And even many people, even the people that are looking at you, other men, yeah. Can you see me?
Mm-hmm.
So all those things, they threaten men. They create some kind of fear of the unknown within the men themselves. And they even themselves, the way they mock each other, the way they do all these kind of things, they devalue others, other men. All these things lead to suicide. I mean, what is it? They call it a
contributing factor.
Contributing factor. The societal thoughts that you creep in your mind just because you feel you are not a man enough. But you are a man enough.
Yeah. Akabwana, I like how you say carnal comparison because you find women out there who say, you know what, I just want somebody who loves me, respect me. I remember that song. I remember when I was very young, I like, I don't care who you are, what you've got, as long as you love me. You know, for some men, it's kind of comparison, like you rightly say, because you find a woman who's a teacher. There are stories, you know, that you hear that this woman is a teacher and the husband is a taxi driver. And she's not bothered about her husband being a taxi driver. She loves him. She respects him. But he is busy, you know, filling his mind with all those unnecessary thoughts. And she gives him the necessary respect. And you also find a woman, she's the one that bought the house. And I know a lot of men don't want to be in a house that the wife bought, but there are women out there who don't go about saying, I bought the house. They paint it as this is our house. In fact, they say this is my husband's house. So I think... Uncle Bwana, go ahead.
Yes, in fact, you are correct by saying so. It is ourselves that become enemy. And we entangle ourselves with all this kind of negative thought that, you see, there are, of course, women who, like you said, yes, they don't care. As long as their respect is there, their love is there, and they, like they say, yes, yeah, when they follow each other, when they do these things, yes, it is men who speak about those things. Not necessarily women.
Yeah.
They could be women who can be very talkative and very acidic in their language or in their nature. But many at times, men are the enemies of themselves.
Wonderful.
Because you feel you are a non-entity. And these things are, they are just the imagination, actually. So whether you have your taxi as a husband, let life go on. It
Please.
Is God.
Taxi drivers are even making more money than most people who are going to office jobs.
So thank you very much. Please, let's see debunk those things and see the issues. And we approach this life in a very positive way. So at least let's not be derogative about other men or wives or women, but let's approach this thing because at the end of the day, you die now. Men, women are there. And after you have killed yourself, what they have you then resolve. You created.
Thank you, Uncle Bwana.
Welcome.
Hey. Now back to that story before my co-host actually comes in. So this particular man whom they had a wonderful... let me not say wonderful... who was married to his wife and then he committed adultery and impregnated that lady.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they had a talk with the wife and she said, okay, I forgive you. Please don't do this again. I had a conversation. I'm sure he was like, I'm sorry, my love. Da, 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 da. Okay, I forgive you. Please don't do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Not long after that, he went back to that same lady, impregnated her, and this time again. They had twins. The pain of the outside woman giving twins to your husband. Eh? I don't know.
It's just something like, else. No,
you know how people praise when you have twins. And now, anyway. So, they had twins. Guess what? This woman, since you're saying, you know, you're talking about there are women who reciprocate.
Mm-hmm.
This lady, she did not say, okay, let's get a divorce and whatnot. And I'm not advocating for what she did. I'm just telling the story of what she did.
Yeah.
She started cheating on the husband.
True.
And since the husband used to work night shifts at times, somebody alerted him to say, your wife is cheating with somebody in so far location. And so she's, and then one day, he was off apparently, or he was at work on duty, and he came home to just see if the wife was there, and the car was not there. So he followed the wife and found that to this location. Mm-hmm. And apparently, before that, he was looking for a gun because he was looking for his gun, and unfortunately, he couldn't find the key to the locker. You know, he kept looking and looking. Okay, fine. Let me just go find them. So he went and he saw the car parked outside that man's house.
Mm-hmm.
He went in and confronted the wife, and the wife told him, "I told you, don't do it again. But you went ahead and go and get her pregnant again with twins. As it is now, she was not even, I guess, ashamed. She was, she was very upset, and she said, I want a divorce right there and then. And that is very embarrassing because you know you would expect that. No, I'm sorry, my husband, blah, 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 blah. Nope. And she said she wants a divorce. And fast forward, they got a divorce. And guess what? He brought in the other lady. And she also has other kids, which are not his kids, apart from the three kids of his. So now the lady said, he can keep the house, and I think they just spoke and agreed on certain things. He can keep the house and whatnot, and the kids. She said the men must take custody of the kids. You know, there are some women who
all of them. Going,
yes, there are some women. If you are saying you want to divorce me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's divorce. Keep your kids. They can be coming and visiting me, but you take full custody of the kids. Yes. So she said he must take full custody of the kids. And so the man went and got that woman that he impregnated twice to come and live with him.
And
all their kids put together. And as life was going on, he was like comparing now. Apparently, she's not tidy. This woman is not tidy. She's so untidy. Her children, they eat a lot of food. But you know, his wife, when he used to buy food, it was just sufficient. And now, and all this and all. He's seeing now all the mistakes that, you know, the girlfriend used to. But the wife is gone. And he wants his wife back. But she doesn't want. You see? Now, for some men, when he gets to that point, goes even as far as brings his girlfriend to come and live with them and... For you, the outsider, you'll be like, look at him. He's not even ashamed to go get that lady to come and live with him after we, you understand? But it's fine. I've moved on with my life and whatnot.
Mm-mm-mm.
But he's now feeling the pepe. He's now feeling the chili in the house.
Mm-mm-mm.
God forbid this man becomes overwhelmed by life and commits suicide. Whose fault is that?
First of all, he brought it upon himself. That is the first thought. Number two, he had an opportunity to rectify his mistake by, after he was being forgiven the first time, he was not supposed to go back there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I do understand these things where people say no, it's a mistake. But some mistakes, you see, if you take alcohol and drugs out of the equation, there are very very few things that you can say it's a mistake. On a sober mind, you can't, there are certain things you can't do when you're sober. You just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it comes to that, then I can kind of understand, but I also understand that we also make choices to take alcohol or to do drugs.
Yeah.
Which will then, impair our judgment and our psychology.
Yeah.
So I think with that man brought it upon himself. And if he's asking for his wife back, I don't know what he's trying to do, because people also detach, emotionally detach from, I mean, if I'm married to my wife and I love her and we are together and everything is going all right, and then something funny happens, and then now I've been living without this wife, because she's now living with somebody else. Emotionally, you also get detached from this person.
True.
And you might never ever want to get even to shake her hand. So, He should continue living with the girlfriend, that same one, marry her with the untidiness and everything. That's all right. Because why didn't he say that she was untidy before?
And it's probably more than that. Not that just the tidiness and everything.
There's just a lot of other things that come. You see, maybe that lady wanted to just break up the marriage because he thought, and you see, like I always say, when you're a married man and you are looking good, usually it's your wife who is sorting you out. She tells you, no, don't wear like this, don't wear this, don't, you know, take a bath. You know, some people you know, we are coming from different...
Your vest is old, we need to buy a new one. Yeah. Please, let's get rid of this underwear. Yeah.
So now, my wife is the one doing all these things for me to look good. Yeah. I look good, and then somebody snaps me because my wife was looking after me.
And guess what? Somebody doesn't snap you. You literally go out and... The men want to be snapped. They want to be...
Yeah. That's like shifting blame, but I'm just saying, like, a lady sees you outside there, but you're coming from a home where your wife is looking after you. She says, no, don't eat fatty things so you don't get too fat.
Yeah.
Eat some vegetables. I mean, women go through a lot of things to look after their husband. Somebody from outside there will see this husband shining, looking good. Looked after by this woman who prays for you. And you see, the concept of prayer is very, very dear to me, because I know women pray for their husbands.
Thank you.
Husbands also pray for their men, women pray a lot more for their husband and their wives and, the kids and the whole marriage.
Ooh, I love that point that you brought up, right?
Yes.
There are two instances in the Bible
Yeah.
where scripture says in the book of Malachi, and in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it says God will not hear your prayers because you dealt treacherously with your wife. You understand?
Yeah, yeah. So I've heard that before.
Yeah. So I found those two places and I said, a lot of men who have left their first wives, and I'm saying first wife, not somebody who got married the second time and got married the third time.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the very first wife, because the Bible says the wife of your youth.
Yes.
A lot of them, majority of them, I'm going to say all of them, but majority of them have it very bad in life.
In the end.
In the end.
Yeah.
Why? The very person who God has put there and sees values, honors that covenant with her, no longer covers you. Maybe if she's praying prayers of bitterness and anger, oh Lord, this man, you understand? It's very few of them that continue to pray for their spouses that they would, you know, understand the light and all that kind of stuff. So that life goes ill for them. And then they want to go about and say, I've been cursed. No, darling, you have not been cursed.
You've cursed yourself.
Trace back. That's why I say, beware of repercussion. You know, there's a law of repercussion. What you sow, you will reap.
Exactly. That is really true. And I think that's where we as men need to really get careful. If you're married, treat your wife well. Just treat your wife well. Do the best you can. I know people, things happen in marriages and in homes, and people get angry with each other, apologize to each other, pick up your pieces, both of you, and continue in the unity of marriage. Because at the end of the day, the devil wants that. The devil wants people to separate. He wants people to have to commit adultery.
Thank you.
So when a husband cheats on the wife, the devil is happy with that.
Of course.
And if the wife starts thinking, oh, let me also cheat back on my husband because he did that to me, now the devil will rejoice.
Another,
most of the time, a marriage like that will never get back together.
Of course, of course not. Two people work together if they are agreed, or you know, if you, the two of you, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
That's true.
And there's another part also that says, he that causeth his wife to commit adultery. In other words, a man can cause his wife to commit adultery. And I think those are things that we don't talk about.
That is true. You understand? Because there's also abusive husbands who will make sure that they...
Yes.
They, what do you call this thing where you don't... get intimate with your wife just to punish her?
Denying of conjugal rights.
Conjugal rights.
There are women out there who are married to men, and this man will not give her conjugal rights. For those who maybe don't get what conjugal, they will not have sex with their wives.
Yeah.
And now
to punish
the question, I don't know whether it's a punishment, or maybe they
whatever reason
disgusted
they have,
at just, them or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, and look, women, the Bible is so clear, we are weaker vessels.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we cry over things. I don't know about other women, but for most of the ones that I know in myself, I would cry over certain things. And sometimes some things which look very insignificant.
Yeah.
You understand? So when a man is denying the wife of conjugal rights, and she now finds comfort in the taxi driver, for instance, who takes her to work, in a colleague, you know, he compliments her, not out of lust or anything, but just really just, appreciates her and compliments her. You know, I have very good relationships with my colleagues at work.
Yeah.
So just that you now, unfortunately, if you meet somebody who, likes you and then you tend to think you like them back and the way they compliment you, which your husband doesn't do,
they make you feel better about yourself.
You end up committing adultery against your spouse. But remember, the men caused it. Let's not to push blame, but a lot of men, I think, yes, I hear a lot of men say, women, we are this, we are this. But honestly, a lot of men caused their wives to do certain things that they were not supposed to do or wouldn't have done if they had under normal circumstances, if they had just rightly, fully been a good husband.
Yeah, that is true. So it's really a topic that needs to be explored. And for us men, I'm talking for us men because we are men. We just need to do right by our wives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you've also taken that child from their parents' home. and you brought her to you, and you need to surrender a few things, you know. This thing of the thing of cheating is just what I don't appreciate. I really don't appreciate men who cheat on their wives. I don't know what other reasons they have, but all of us have eyes. Yeah?
Yeah.
All of us.
Thank you.
All of us who are married.
We see handsome men out there too. You see. We don't go around.
Yeah, but you
I like
you,
where you're going.
One,
it.
You, yeah. you don't give them an opportunity to, you don't entertain certain things. Ladies are, I mean, there are ladies out there who, should I even call them ladies? There are women out there who, because a lady is a well-cultured woman.
Uh-huh.
So, there are women out there who would start making jokes with married men and things like that. But if you give them the platform and you entertain it, that's where you're starting to go wrong.
Yeah.
So, and it's important for us to also tell people that I'm married. I'm happily married.
Yeah.
Even if you are not happily married like a lark, just confess it. Because at the end of the day, if you confess it will manifest, you know?
And you know, and I think when you say that, there will then be women that says, it's okay, even if you're married. Oh my goodness, we should have.
I have seen a lot of those cases.
Are you serious?
I've seen a lot of women who would say, "Oh no!" If you, in fact, I spoke to this other lady. She was telling me, saying, "Most women go for married men because they know that you, as a married man, have a wife, right? That you are looking after. So you are already a candidate because you can look after. You have already passed that." You've already got that tick
to say
you can look after a woman. So that's one of the reasons why women go for married men as well. So, but it's us who are supposed to stand up for ourselves and say, look, I'm married. I'm heavily married. I don't want to mess up my marriage.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Then the person will go to somewhere else. And the good thing is the physiology of a man doesn't really allow, even though some people disagree, it doesn't allow for a woman to even rape a man. It's not very possible like that, except if they spike your drink and they put maybe one of those things that cause sexual desires in your drink or something.
Uh-huh.
But even that, you can still say no, and she won't be able to rape you like that. But
there are rare cases where women really, spike your drink.
Yeah, and stuff like that.
And rape a woman. Sorry.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think us men, we really need to just, number one, let's not cause our wives to do things that they're not supposed to do.
Thank you.
Number two, let's not be men who cannot talk about the things that we're going through. If you're going through something, talk about it.
Tell your wife. Unless maybe then she's the cause. No. Even if she's the cause, tell her.
Yeah, but talk about it with her and then resolve the issue. You know, resolve the issue with her. Because at the end of the day, if we don't do that, then we will have a society that's full of suicide cases and stuff like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And so I also want to say that if somebody is going through some problems, there are some numbers that you can call as well, right?
Okay, cool.
Where you can call to just talk to the people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Lifeline Childline, Namibia toll free. It's a free number. You don't pay anything. Even if you don't have credit, you call it, you will still go through.
Mm-hmm.
You just dial 116 or 106.
116
or 106. It's a hotline.
Say it in doubles as well. Double one.
116. 106. Oh, the other one doesn't
have a double. Thank you.
Yeah. So we can all do that. And this is not only for men. It's for everybody. Even a boy child. If you are going through some abuse at home, maybe the parents are abusive and things like that.
Yeah.
Pick up that line and call and hear what other people can say. There's nothing that you are going through that somebody else has not gone through
before.
There's nothing new under the sun, like the Bible says. True. Yeah. So,
you know, now that you say it, I remember one time when I was going through a lot and I went to Maromo and my goodness, I was going to have a mental breakdown right then. This is now a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, and a friend had actually told me that I should go and see a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Right then and there, I left Maromo, and I wanted to window shop. I left Maromo, and I took a cab straight to Katutura Shoprite, Red Cross.
Yeah.
And I walked into that counseling room, and I was crying, brawling, like tears, and the counselor was had, you know, I loved how she even, you know, just allowed me to cry without even telling my story. I said, you know what? I want to speak to a counselor or a psychologist or social worker.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gave me tissue and she just gave me time to just cry.
That was for free, right?
That was for free. I didn't pay anything. And that time I was going through, you know, like I said, I was having a mental breakdown and therefore I walked myself to, you know, that mental, no booking, no nothing. And, I sat in there and she gave me some tissues and I cried. And I love how she allowed me to cry because I'm this type of person that, the way I release my emotions and my stress and my whatever is through crying. The moment I cry about it, I feel better. I feel relieved. Mm-hmm. Although thankfully, thank God, I'm maturing now with the crying aspect.
Yes, and even the crying is maturing.
Yeah, you know, but I'm glad that has been my coping mechanism. I'm glad. So then she handed me tissues and we spoke and then she said, she allowed me to just cry. And I think that's the thing that I, even me myself, if somebody's crying, there's no way I'm going to tell you, stop crying. I'm going to say, I might not say anything. I might just tap you on the back and say, and I just allow you to.
Yeah, it's good to let it out.
And I think that's also a mechanism for men. If you want to cry, please in your car, please cry. There's no such thing as men do not cry. You know, even Jesus cried. They said he wept. So please cry. If you want to cry, cry.
It's true.
Let it all out. Afterwards, sometimes after I've cried about something, I look myself and I'm like, what have been? Is that something worth crying about? Like, you know, but at least I'm relieved.
That is true. And that is where we go wrong as men. Like men, we are expected to be hard people. We are not supposed to cry. We're not supposed to show emotion. Lyle. But if you have it in you to cry, I mean, I know there are men who just can't. They can't cry.
Apparently. But I think I want a person who can cry out their emotions to release the tension. Anyway, we have a scheduled commercial break. I'm enjoying this conversation. I don't know. It's because maybe I'm coming from leave. I've got all this energy in the strength. Anyway, please do stay tuned. We're taking a short commercial break. And and have you noticed every time we are in studio with my co-host here, Andreas Kashindi, we barely go for musical breaks, but because the conversation is so beautiful. Anyway, let's pause right here. We'll be back shortly.
Cheers.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response is... Dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting star. Swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. I feel something so right. Doing the wrong thing. And I feel something so wrong. Doing the right thing. I could lie, could lie, could lie. Everything that kills me makes me feel alive. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, saying no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Burn down this river every time. Hope is our four-letter word. Make that money, watch it burn. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. And thing that drowns me makes me wanna fly. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars. Makes me feel alive. Baby, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. Baby, I've been praying hard, said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars.
Okay, and we are back.
Yes, we are.
Men and suicide. You know, like I say, there's a lot of awareness that is being made now, you know. And mm-hmm. and it's interesting that June is it Men's Month or Mental Health Month? Which
Men's Month. Yeah.
Men's Month. Mm. All right. And so things such as this being made away, I know sometimes we make choices that we go and regret, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people say, you know, when somebody's being interviewed and then they ask them, do you have any regrets in life? And they say, I don't have any regrets in life because they have been experiences. Me, Haibo, I have regrets in my life. I'm just like, it's true. Wow, okay. there are 13 things that I did. I feel like, why in the world did I do that? You understand? So, but then really, so I know sometimes we make choices that we go and regret later because we end up in hot water. Yeah. Like, for instance, somebody that was in a relationship with this girl, yeah, and she was very toxic. She was very beautiful mm-hmm. and very toxic. And I used to say, I'm so sorry, but I used to say beauty without brains because, yo, this girl was toxic.
That's hectic.
And so, yeah, so he went out and took loans and they partied or they did whatever with their finances. When they broke up, he was left with all the, you know, the debts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I know sometimes maybe you take such foolish choices and you regret in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm of the opinion that when it reaches the, you know, like I go back to saying some reasons why men commit suicide.
Mm.
I believe it's out of embarrassment and shame.
Yeah.
Shame is for a moment. Yes, it's not that it won't be there, but sometimes for you to progress, you need to despise the shame.
Yeah.
We've made choices that at the end of the day, we feel ashamed about, or things that have happened in our lives that we're ashamed about.
Mm.
But you stick it out. You eventually people forget.
Yeah. And you see the whole thing of shame, hey? I've just noticed, I've realized eventually, after a very long time of observation, that people out there don't really care, man.
Thank you.
People can talk, but eventually they're going to stop talking.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, like when people feel this shame that now drives people to commit suicide, it's you know, you can outlive the shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be, you are not going to feel ashamed over, I mean, until you die.
No.
It's just a period of time. And these days, I think because of maybe the type of world we live in today,
mm-hmm.
and the type of humans we are evolving to and becoming, people just don't have a long memory of things. People forget very easily about certain things.
Because of course, there's always something new coming
out. Yeah, there's always something new. There's always somebody new to talk about.
Another scandal
and,
that
and
is
And the whole
out.
Thing is, if people talk about you when you are going through something bad, even if you were having the time of your life and you are everything is rosy, everything is great, going great for you, people still talk.
True.
So it's an irrelevant thing for me. I don't really look at people anymore to say, oh, people will say, because that is how we were brought up. That's why you find somebody who a girl falls pregnant by one of these boys at the village who just plays soccer and drinks alcohol and.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't seem to have any vision for their life and things like that.
Yeah.
But the parents can actually go to the extent of telling this girl to try and, after finding out she's pregnant, to try and go and sleep with somebody else who maybe a school teacher or a police officer or something.
For real?
Who has, yeah, I mean, things like that happen. Just because of the shame.
Mm.
We don't want to go through the shame of having a child who was impregnated by a riffraff, like they say, you know, and things like that. But at the end of the day, hey, life continues. Life happens. You know.
You know, when I look back, but Andreas, on that particular day, you know, I know people have never really had me speak about this.
Yeah.
And I think I have been schooled by life.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I have been schooled by life itself, my own experiences.
Yeah.
And so, I remember that particular day, everybody was not home. And when I had those thoughts of suicide, and I was just so tired, and I had my 7 months old baby at the time.
Yeah.
And we were in the north, you know?
Yeah.
And so looking back, and I remember that day, what I did was, after, because the thoughts were so strong on me, like, just finish it. Actually, what I did was take a pen so I can write a suicide note. And the pen stopped working. And I did not want...
God for you.
I did not want to die without
writing the reason why.
Whoever did me wrong. I wanted the world to blame him, but they're only going to blame him for a very long short time, you know.
You have no idea. So the Holy Spirit is just another thing.
That pain was, I can't die without, I know I speak about
voicing
this now.
Voicing it out, yeah.
Without making sure that this is the person responsible, whatever they're going to do with that, nothing. So yeah. I went to my cousin's room to look for another pen. I couldn't find. I went to my auntie's room because I was staying with my aunt at the time. And then I went, she was more like counseling me and stuff. Yeah. I went to my cousin's room. There was nothing. I came back.
See how God works.
My dear, I laid down there. I was very angry that the pen couldn't write. I was very angry and I was lying down there, angry, crying. And I started praying. I said, God, so this is my life now? Like, you know, I was so angry and aggressive. And I remember going in the bathroom and shouting. And I remember I was praying and crying bitterly from my heart. Mm. And little did I know the neighbors could hear me, but at that point I didn't care. I had my little girl though, and I was
she was seven months old. Where was she when you were doing all this?
When I was lying down, she tapped me on my feet. She was like touching me. She's now 7 years old. She's making
Can
8 years
imagine?
Old. And she tapped me on my feet. And mind you, this is the girl that came at the time. I was like. No, she came at the wrong time. Even though I was married at the time,
yeah.
I felt like she came at the wrong time. Yeah. Little did I know she was going to be my angel and whatnot. So as I'm lying down, she tapped on my feet. And that's when I stood up, I think, to go and pray and cry. And afterwards, I was shouting and whatnot. When my cousin came home, she said the neighbors were asking why I was shouting. Like they can hear somebody shouting. And then she told them,
they knew
I'm praying.
You were alone.
Yeah, and she told them, I'm praying. And then I told my cousin that, honestly, I was battling. It was, I know the experience, y'all. Like, I know everyone has their experience. That day, I would have committed suicide. I would have. Except imagine. I really cried out and I didn't care who was there and whatnot. I went on YouTube. I said, like, thankfully I had small data and I stumbled across people who were like praying and I just watched and I also just continued myself. Oh. So really, the thing about suicide, it is a spirit. It's a demonic spirit. Some people say that they hear thoughts that say, go and commit suicide.
Yeah.
And
they
sometimes people, yes. And some people voice out, they tell their family members and they say, okay, don't leave her alone. Like for me, when my cousin told my family, then they said, I should never be left alone. But that's not enough. That's not enough.
And there will always be an alone time.
Exactly.
The other person, the only person who can watch you 24/7, 365 is Jesus.
Otherwise,
the other person will fall asleep. If they fall asleep, they can't hear you open the door to go out.
Or we could be in the sitting room and I go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
And finish
and
it.
And lock yourself there.
Exactly. Yeah, so I believe when we do hear people that want to commit suicide, let's give them the counsel that they need.
Yeah.
My mom hired a girl to come and look after my kids. This particular girl, she was my namesake. She ended up being my counselor. No degree, no school, no nothing. And I'm telling you, nobody's useless in this life. Mm-hmm. Life lessons. Good evening.
Oh, I just want to say something. I wept. I also went into that office there. That red office. I mean, Red Cross.
Yes, yes.
And you see, it's good to encourage men and boys not to be crying. When you feel so sad, cry so that you can be, you know, relieved from the pain. So many a times, when you see boys or men crying, that's where we take advantage of them and say, no, why are you crying? You are a coward. Even the police, you know, sometimes when they come to you and you have got some quarrel, hey, man up. You must man up. Nanapu, somebody is in pain and you are saying that you shouldn't cry like a woman. So all those things, there is good that you have mentioned that one. I also have that experience. But as for me, I do cry. If I made you unhappy, if I annoyed you or misbehaved to you, sometimes it also gives me that kind of guilty conscience, you know. and you cry. So if you are unhappy with something, especially when this is squabblings and things like that are happening, cry. When you cry, you feel at ease. Your anger and all these things subsides. So let's encourage boys and men to cry. You shouldn't be mocking them. I was even mocked here. So people say, yeah, and he was crying. Why was he crying? Yes.
Yeah.
Those are issues that can lead, and because you know you are suppressing the anger and all these other things. By the time it bursts out, you find yourself into trouble.
It's true.
Because you might even behave or take an action which is unlawful.
That is true.
Thank you very much, Judy, for crying. That's the experience. I also cry in that office there. And many a time, sometimes they don't bump you. Sometimes they feel, but I know the counselors and all these people of God, they do a great job because they papa you, or what do they say?
Yeah, they tap you on the back, just to to let you let it out also.
If you feel unhappy or annoyed, cry. And you know God will always give you the grace and the strength to release those pains. So thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Tate.
Good.
Thank you so much, sir.
God bless.
God bless you too.
Interesting.
Yes, I was looking at some statistics, and by region, hey.
Okay.
That's now the 2022-2023 financial year. When it comes to suicide, and unfortunately, my region is the one topping the list.
Angona?
No.
Okay.
Omusati. Omusati region.
But Angwena has more people compared to Omusati.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Angwena is not even in the list.
Wow.
There are four regions that had the highest number of suicides, suicide cases. The first one is Omusati region, followed by Oshikoto. Can you imagine? Oshikoto region. And then Komas, of course, which has one of the highest population concentrations in the country. And then followed by Hardap as number four. So, yeah, I think people should, we need to do something. Individually, at individual basis, sorry, at individual level, we as family members, families, we need to talk about suicide. We need to tell our children.
Yeah.
We need to speak to our boys so that they grow knowing that suicide is real and it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing to do. And for them to just, for us to encourage them to speak out and cry. I like what Tate Buena said there, to say that he also cried in that office of Red Cross in Katutura there.
You see, and that is so, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For as long as we keep quiet about our own struggles, suicide will continue to happen.
Yes.
I can be walking on the radio and everybody thinks I've got it all together. I can
that
be battling, or I'm coming from a past where it's been all roses and perfect. Would you believe that I battled suicide myself? And you're hearing also Uncle Buana saying he cried in the office of Red Cross.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, we paint a picture, or people view us, because I don't go around looking like my problems. I personally,
appearances can be very deceptive.
Very deceptive. I like to tell my friend, I say, who said you must walk around
looking like your problems? Yeah.
No, I'm going to buy me beautiful dresses and beautiful skirts and match them up with, recently I laid a nice maroon pullover jersey with nice pointish maroon shoes and my black skirt. But that doesn't mean I have it all together. You understand?
Yeah.
It's just that let me do what makes me happy.
Yeah.
But it's not all roses. You understand? And so when we speak about the experiences we've gone through, the challenges, people can better relate. I love how the Prime Minister the other time spoke about how he battled suicide too.
Yeah.
And guess what I wanted to say?
Which Prime Minister? Mr. Dr. Ngurane?
Yebo.
Oh, okay.
On his Facebook one time. Is it last year? Last of last year? I think it was last year. Yeah, last year. That's only Prime Minister. You know. So,
okay.
What was I saying? Looking back on that particular day when I was battling suicide thoughts, I'm glad I didn't commit suicide. You know why? I love my life where it is now, but it could be better. Yeah. I'm praying, God, please hear my prayers. I want
there
better.
There is always light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Looking back, the happy moments that I have felt, the good things that I have enjoyed, you know, like that, life has brought me, makes me realize there was a day I literally said, God, I'm so grateful I didn't commit suicide. Yeah. Look at the Prime Minister now.
Mm-hmm.
Had he committed suicide, who would have thought?
He wouldn't have been the Prime Minister
exactly.
today.
Mm-hmm. And that is one of the highest offices in the land. You understand?
You see what I'm saying?
What am I saying? I am saying, men, women, whoever you are, and you're battling suicide now, please,
seek help.
Thank you.
Speak out, cry, you know,
and
just those things.
And know that life will get better. I know it looks hopeless right now.
Yeah.
It looks like there's no solution. The sun doesn't stay in the cloud forever.
You see, the whole thing of when people say, no, I felt like the whole world is caving on me, right?
Yeah.
It's just that time, that moment, because you are going through the whole thing that you're going through.
Yeah.
But there is always life after that.
Thank you.
There will be life after that. Whether your life, you end your life, there will be life after that for other people.
For other people.
But if you don't end yours.
We forget about you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And if you don't end yours, there will be life. Your life will be after this same problem that you are going through.
Yeah.
You'll be on the other side of that problem.
Exactly. So, let's say, for instance, this guy or this girl wants to commit suicide because the relationship that they've invested so much in has crumbled.
Yeah.
Not knowing that there is a man
out
or
there,
a woman that is beautifully being orchestrated just for you.
Exactly.
You're going to end up with this person and you're going to be so beautifully in love and
you'll be very
be
happy.
So happy.
Even
that
much
the other
happier
person,
than where you,
thank you.
Where you were.
You'll be so glad that the other person actually dumped you or made you go through hardships so that you can meet this person.
I'm telling you.
Able to tell your story and encourage the next person.
And, I have seen a guy who had a girlfriend. He loved the girlfriend. They had a baby together. And then after that, something happened. I think he lost his job or something.
Mm.
And then the girl was this one's who, when you lose your job, you're no longer useful. You become a useless person. Yeah. People started saying, well, the girlfriend started saying it's useless.
Yeah.
She actually left him. She's the one who left him. Oh. They were living together and then she left him.
Yeah.
And then the guy found Christ and he started praying more. And he actually took 2 years to say, in the next 2 years, I'm just going to devote my life to prayer and going to church. And I'm not going to have a girlfriend. I'm not going to look. Even if I see a girl who looks so beautiful and I think I like her, I'll just ignore it and continue and give it 2 years. Within the 2 years. Okay, first he contemplated suicide. Before, when he was dumped by this one, he lost the job. And you see, these things usually happen when something else happens. You lose your job.
Yeah.
Now you are no longer able to provide. You're no longer able to spoil this girl who you've gotten used to spoiling.
Mm-hmm.
Then the girl leaves you. And then even family members start talking bad about you because now you don't have a job. You are left by your girlfriend. You have a child and you can't support the child, you know, and all these things. So he took the 2 years. Within the 2 years, God gave him a very, very wonderful, God-fearing lady for a girlfriend. And he even said, as he was praying, he was apparently praying, saying, look, God, I want you to show me the wife. When it's her, I don't want to have a single shred of doubt. I want everything to just, when I know it's her, I should know. Like, you should make it in me. Like, for me to know that this is the wife. And that's exactly what happened. So, got married. 2 years later, got married. The ex-girlfriend was now battling this thing of trying to also find somebody to marry so that you got married, I also can get married. You know, that comparison kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... and by the way, this guy was engaged to this girl to get married, eh?
Imagine.
It's just that the job thing got lost. But of course, there were already apparently other other problems issues. There are other issues. Mm. Disrespect. The girl was very disrespectful to the guy. She was very inconsiderate. She would even make comments like, no, telling like the aunties and the the guy's nieces and nephews, like, no, if we get married and he dies, I'm going to take everything. Imagine somebody saying that when you're a girlfriend. I guess it was immaturity and things like that.
I like to say the signs are always there. We just choose to ignore them.
It's true. It's true.
Especially for marriages that break down.
Yeah.
The signs are most of the times always there. We just choose to ignore them.
Yeah.
But that is really true. That's something that's nice, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like you will never come out of that problem, but I promise you, you will come out.
That is the whole thing. That's the whole lesson of this.
Yeah. And when you experience wonderful things in your life in the future, you realize that, hey, hold on. I didn't know that I was going to be
this
happy or be at this particular point in time.
That is true.
So I think we shouldn't, not even I think, we shouldn't give up hope.
Yeah.
Let's book ourselves. Let's take ourselves to the for counseling. Because it helps. It really does.
It is true,
Take yourself for counseling and get professional help.
Mm.
You can be somebody who goes to church, but you can also seek out professional help.
That's true.
Unless you have very strong counselors who are able to bear with you over and over. Because people who are battling such thoughts, they need somebody to continuously cancel them.
Yeah.
You understand? So really...
It's really a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to church and you are a church person, start from there. Start with the counseling from church.
Yeah, but sometimes I feel like not all churches. All churches.
Yeah.
Some churches, they are out only for themselves. And
that is true.
I feel like some of them, they are selfish.
Yeah.
They may see you going through your problems, but they will not come through for you. And when it's like that, please seek outside counseling. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not betraying anybody. Rather, betraying yourself if you're not seeking the help that you need, if you're not getting it way, you know? Yeah.
I think it's a matter of escalating this thing. So if you live in a house and there's somebody who can listen, talk to that person.
Yes, please.
Let them counsel you a bit at that level. And then escalate that now to the next, maybe a counselor or to go to the Red Cross office or childline helpline.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many. Phillips Trust. So, there are so many.
I think we can have a better society if we can learn to speak out and cry and share our problems before we just take a rope and hang ourselves.
Thank you. You know, there's something that you said also about families being broken. Look, I think the reason why the boy child can't manage his emotions is because of the root problem of absent fathers.
That is true.
Absent fathers. If a child, single parenting as a mom, there's only so much that I can do. I can never fill the role of a dad.
That is true.
I see women say I was both a father and a mother to my child. That's a lie. You were doing.
They were doing some of the duties that a father is supposed to do. Yes. That's actually what they're trying to say.
Oh, okay, cool.
But they can never.
A dad.
You can never be
a dad because the qualities of a dad are different. You know. So when the boy child grows up with their dad and daddy tells them, it's different when a father is telling the boy child to say, cry about your emotions, or when the boy child maybe was in a relationship and the relationship broke down as a teenager or whatever, and now the father is saying, I've been there. It's different. I, as a mother,
before I found your mom,
I had this girl that I liked so much, and she broke my heart.
Yeah.
So, I, as a mom, I can never be able to really, you know, get across to that point. I can, but you know, not. I hope what I'm saying is clear.
You can never take the place of a dad.
Yes. So, let's also
just
start.
Like a dad can never take the place of a mom.
Thank you.
In a child's life.
Thank you.
We are all needed. Our children need both of us.
They need both of us.
Yeah. And for dads out there who are not looking after their children or they have abandoned their children.
Yeah.
We need to do better.
We need to do better. You can't say I send 5,000 Namibian dollars per month.
Yeah. The money is not you. The money can buy food. Yes, that's good. We like that. Mm-hmm. We want to have some food and clothes for mm-hmm. the children. Mm-hmm. But the money is not you.
Thank you. There's yeah. nothing wrong with saying, I'm going to take out the kids to Hungry Lion in town. Of course, yeah. without their mom, whom you're not together with anymore.
Yeah.
And speak about and find out how are they doing academically? Mm. How are they socially doing with socially, their friends, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. So it also starts with men. Men, your dad might not have been there, might not have been a present father.
Yeah.
You do better. And because you know the process that you went through, you know the pain that cost you. So you do better, because there's a trend where an absent father was,
yeah.
they're most likely also to be absent fathers. And men, yeah. let's be accountable for our actions, please. You can't go around making babies left, right, and center, sleeping with everyone and getting them pregnant. And you expect problems to come your way.
Yeah.
And you expect financial problems not to come your way. Because when you are dealing with three different households,
yeah.
my salary comes in now, it's 10,000 Namibian dollars, and 1,000 must go to the other house, and 1,000 must go to that house, and 1,000 must go to that house. To that other child. And my wife and I here have kids, and then I'm left with how much? Left with 7,000. And I still have to give my mom and my sister and my wife. But if you had one household,
yes.
everything is
and all
within.
Your children were in together, you can say, yes. let me just budget 3,000 for food.
Thank
for
you.
All of them.
Thank you.
But now you have to, because if you give 500 the other side, it's very little money. 500 can't buy much.
It can't, but anymore. We also want yeah. to applaud men who are able to give. I think that's another right. topic that's for another day, really you know.
True, yeah.
You know, when men can't give out money to their
children. Yeah.
I think we women should also try to understand sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I say sometimes.
Yeah.
Because very there are times true. Where really it's dry for them. Because sometimes really we make it difficult for them. You are useless. You gave that to
oh,
a child.
Yeah.
You're not giving them anything.
I've seen a lot of that. I've witnessed a lot of
that's another topic for another day.
Yeah.
Anyway, as we round up, your last words?
My last words are, okay, so basically I think when it comes to suicide, number one, let us try to be churchly. Mm. But churchly, not religiously, but we need to seek Christ. Yeah? Mm. We need to seek Christ because... I've also had cases and things that I have gone through. There is even one particular case where I have endured for 16 years. I was going through something and I'm still going through it.
Aww.
But because I hold on to Christ, I can't think of suicide
Amen.
Because of that. So I think we all have things that we are going through. But for me, I feel like the power of God is much stronger than any counselor or any counseling.
True.
Yeah. So of course we should seek counseling. We should go to things to people to speak to them. But it is important for us to seek Christ and start reading the Word and pray more and worship God and do all these good things.
Thank you. And we can come here honestly and motivate people.
Yeah.
From human basis and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in all honesty, if we can be honest, yeah. without Christ, we are a mess. I've seen in my personal life, you understand?
Yeah.
A mess. I would be worried and stressed and what, but when you have faith and hope, you believe God can change the situation. So
it's better. We can look forward to a better tomorrow.
Thank you. But that doesn't mean go out and be gullible to false prophets. We have had those topics.
Yeah. Yeah.
extensively right here on this show.
Yeah.
But oh well, that's all from me. Nafa Happy Juju. I today.
Yeah.
I hope I wasn't putting salt into your wound, but yeah, I want us to be to hold men accountable for the actions that they do.
Yeah.
You know? And if you have done something wrong, please bear the consequences. Even the consequences don't last forever. Eventually,
yeah.
I think eventually they subsidize. So, please, if you die, if you commit suicide, it doesn't get better. It's not beautiful on the other side. From what I've heard from people, it's those who have had dreams and died and came back.
And you might leave behind people who would have needed you to be there for them.
True.
Especially children who are young and all
these
things.
Thank you. But I also like that other point that you said.
Mm.
People will forget about you. If you commit suicide, we will be sad. We will cry.
Yeah.
But within a week or two, Even the very next day.
Life just has to go on.
You know? And they call me and say, you have won a lottery. I will laugh and smile. You understand?
Sure.
As much as I feel the pain of my loved one that died, committed suicide.
Mm.
So just know that the world will continue without you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know sometimes we want to say, I want them to feel that pain. Like mm-hmm. in my mind, I wanted to write that note. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Now from Indafa, happy Juju. It is good night. Please have yourself a wonderful Sunday evening. There's only a few hours left.
Yes.
Saturday evening and Sunday
morning.
Day and afternoon and morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Rest where mm-hmm. you need to rest.
Yeah.
And please don't be gullible out there. Tomorrow is Sunday. Be watchful and be wise.
Amen. And continue to pray. And Thank Mr. you. Joseph Kashindi Andreas signs off.
Goodbye.
Bye.